Support for this podcast comes from the Central Valley Journalism Collaborative, connecting communities with the resources, infrastructure, and networks to ensure a vibrant local free press.
From KVPR in Fresno, this is Central Valley Daily. Happy Friday. It's February 27th. I'm Elizabeth Arkalian. How can writing in any form change our outlook and perspective?
In the act of writing itself, even if you were never to go back to that piece of writing, you've put yourself in a position where you are slowing down your thinking.
Coming up, we speak with a UC Merced professor about how writing can make a person more resilient. But first, these headlines. The Fresno Unified School District is planning to lay off a little over 270 employees to address an ongoing budget deficit. The layoffs include teachers and staff. The district school board voted unanimously to notify district employees about the layoffs on Wednesday night. This marks one of the largest workforce reductions at Fresno Unified since the pandemic, according to some reports. More than 500 district employees also accepted early retirement packages last year. The U.S. Bureau of Reclamation released its initial water allocation for the year. Water users who rely on the Central Valley Project have been allocated just 15% of the water they have rights to. That mainly applies to water customers south of the Delta. Water supply estimates are based on water availability and current reservoir and snowpack levels. The allocation may also change in future months. The country's largest agricultural water district has reaffirmed its commitment to addressing the sinking San Joaquin Valley. KVPR's Carrie Klein reports on a new subsidence policy approved by the Westlands Water District.
The sinking of land known as subsidence is caused by the overpumping of water in underground aquifers. Research shows that some parts of the valley are sinking by as much as a foot per year, and that's damaged critical canals that transport water. That's one reason state water managers released subsidence guidelines last year, and now local groundwater agencies like Westlands are adopting them. Westlands covers roughly 1,000 square miles of farmland. The new policy approved by its board agrees to address subsidence in its long-term groundwater sustainability goals. The policy also states that subsidence-related damage was not caused solely by growers and that protecting and restoring infrastructure is a shared responsibility. For KVPR News, I'm Carrie Klein.
Republican Assemblywoman Alexandra Macedo is calling for the firing of the CEO of the California High-Speed Rail Authority. Macedo represents parts of Kings County in the legislature, and she issued a letter to Governor Gavin Newsom this week demanding the immediate termination of Ian Chaudhry. Chaudhry was arrested earlier this month after an alleged domestic violence incident, but was never charged. Macedo says the arrest tarnishes the rail project's reputation, but she also railed against the project's delays and cost overruns. Republican Congressman Kevin Kiley of Rockland has officially introduced federal legislation to block California from taxing former residents who leave the state. The Keep Jobs in California Act targets a proposed state wealth tax that would impose a one-time 5% tax on residents with assets over $1 billion. The measure is backed by a healthcare workers union and would be retroactive to January 1st, 2026.
Because of this threat, you see that a number of high net worth people have already left California because they simply can't take the risk. And this includes most recently Steven Spielberg and Mark Zuckerberg. By some estimates, individuals worth a combined $1 trillion have already left California.
Supporters of the wealth tax say the revenue is needed to offset deep federal cuts to healthcare programs. Governor Gavin Newsom and state financial analysts have warned that the measure could backfire if high earners leave the state, taking their tax revenue with them. The longtime general manager of the Fresno Grizzlies announced he will leave the team effective today. Derek Franks told news outlets he's accepted a new job he just couldn't pass up. The Grizzlies plan to announce a new manager next week. Franks joined the Grizzlies in 2004 in the sales office and served as general manager for just over a decade.
If you enjoy Central Valley Daily and want even more news, tune into our broadcast. KVPR is Central California's NPR station. Find us on your radio at 89.3 FM in Fresno, 89.1 in Bakersfield, or tell your smart speaker to play KVPR.
And now to our main story. How many times a day do you write? It can be an email, a journal entry, a grocery list, or even an AI prompt. Every time we go to craft sentences, like the script I wrote, we're using a different part of our brain. And externalizing our thoughts means we have to make decisions and use our memory and slow down. These tasks can help us process emotions more effectively and even make us more resilient. Those are the findings from UC Merced writing professor Emily Johnston. Emily first discussed with me about why self-regulation through writing is different than something like talk therapy.
The distinct thing about writing is that it creates a kind of record that we can go back to at will or not. Mm-hmm. Unlike speaking, unless you record yourself speaking something, when you put something into writing, you've created an object that you can reread, you can go back and revise, you can share with somebody else. And also, in the act of writing itself, even if you were never to go back to that piece of writing, you've put yourself in a position where you are slowing down your thinking. So many of us can't write as quickly as we can speak. So there's an automatic slowing down that happens just by picking up a pen and writing on paper or even typing. So you're slowing your thoughts down, and you're also kind of asking your brain to work a little bit differently. Your brain has to think through, okay, well, what's the right word here for expressing what I'm feeling or thinking in this moment? And that creates some slowing. There's also just the literal process of looking at what you've written on the page and your brain having to cross-check, like, is that what that word is supposed to look like? And most of these things we're not even conscious of as we're writing, but they are things that our brain is having to do to support our writing process that it doesn't have to do at the same level when we're speaking something.
Sure. And just to drill down a little bit more, in your recent piece in The Conversation, you talk about the neuroscience of writing and just what exactly does the process of writing do for us and our brains?
So, to be very clear, you know, I am a writing studies professor. My training is mostly in writing studies. I've been fortunate to be on a fellowship through the Mellon Foundation this past couple of years to study neuroscience and to really try to answer a little bit more of that question of what's going on in the brain. But I would say, kind of generally, writing is not a natural thing. In other words, you know, not all people learn to write and read. Almost all of us learn to speak and hear. But writing requires some additional kind of human intervention, right? Whether we learn it at school, learn it at home, through a combination of those things. So our brain is kind of activated in a different way when we're writing, simply because when we first start out anyway, we're having to kind of process, what does this word look like on paper as opposed to what does it sound like in conversation? So everything from learning about forming letters to learning how to section out letters and distinguish words among sentences and so forth. Our brains are having to do a lot of work to make sense of words that appear on the page as opposed to just kind of coming into our ears in conversation. The other level I've kind of mentioned a little bit about already is that when we're writing, our brains are also trying to think about of all the words they have amassed over the course of a lifetime, what are the words that are really capturing what I'm thinking in this moment? And oftentimes, I see this with my students all the time, once we start writing about something, we may have an initial idea, like I'm going to write a letter to a friend, for example. And as we are writing that letter, we start recalling memories or recalling little details about our day that never kind of entered into our mind at the start. And because our brain is sort of working through all kinds of memories about previous writing experiences, previous interactions with that person, And because of the slowness of the writing process, it's really kind of allowing us to touch back into some of those things.
You mentioned writing to a friend. When we talk about writing and what it does, is this really just for correspondence? Is it for creative writing, journaling, poetry, or does it all count?
I say it all counts. Even like writing a to-do list, writing a letter, writing an essay for a class, writing a memo at work, writing an email, social media posts, reports, books, you know, all of these things are in the realm of writing because they all require us to kind of work through that large store of memories and words in our brains and figure out kind of what to select and what is appropriate for that particular situation that we're writing for.
Okay, lastly, Professor Johnston, if you were to give listeners some tips on how they can make writing a key part of helping themselves process life, what are some tips you'd give?
So, no surprise, the first one would be get yourself a little notebook and carry that around with you everywhere. And so whether it's writing down something you have to remember to pick up at the store later, writing down a response you had to a heated conversation with a colleague or a friend, or even like having it by your bed. And in the morning, you know, I know people who will immediately write down things they remember from their dreams. Mm-hmm. So in some ways, it doesn't really matter what it is you're writing about. It's just kind of giving yourself that daily practice of using writing as a way to process your life. The other thing I would recommend would be when you find yourself in a tense moment. And that could be simply, you know, trying to decide how to prioritize your day. So you have a ton of meetings or lots of responsibilities that day. You need to kind of figure out how you're going to prioritize. Make yourself a physical list and maybe even make yourself a couple different versions of that list. That will externalize the demands on your time to some extent and kind of help you regain a sense of agency, right? The day isn't happening to you. You can kind of craft the day in the way that works best for you. And the last thing I would say is just like, you know, take note of what's around you in the world. Maybe it's something interesting along your way when you're walking from one place to another on campus or at your workplace. Use your notepad or your phone notes to observe the world around you and kind of hold on to things that strike you, that are beautiful, that really move you in some way. I think it's just as important to use writing to document and hold on to the beautiful things in our lives. We can get so preoccupied with problems and things that need work from us. And it helps to also pause to remember the things that really move us and influence us in life.
Emily Johnston, Professor of Writing Studies at UC Merced, thank you so much for joining me and for this enlightening conversation.
Thank you.
And that is today's show. Today's episode was produced by Jonathan Linden, Carrie Klein, and KVPR with support from the Central Valley Journalism Collaborative. I'm Elizabeth Arkalian. Find the latest local news anytime at kvpr.org.
This is Tanya Mosley, co-host of Fresh Air. You'll see your favorite actors, directors, and comedians on late-night TV shows or YouTube. But what you get with Fresh Air is a deep dive. Spend some quality time with people like Billie Eilish, Questlove, Ariana Grande, Stephen Colbert, and so many more. We ask questions you won't hear asked anywhere else. Listen to the Fresh Air podcast from NPR and WHYY.